What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Hey,
what's up?
What's poppin'?
You guys are tuning in to
What Works For Us.
Wait a minute, all black,
all queer.
I'm not going to say it this time because you know, you've mastered it. I don't think it even have the same effect.
Especially after last time you said I was hooked on phonics. I think that you...
well, you were acting a little hooked on phonics, but I think we should switch it up. Like, what works, you say that part, and I say for us.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a duet. This is a, you know, we have to do things in unison with each other and stuff.
No, this is actually a podcast. It's
not a duet. It's a duet. You get the high note, I get the low note.
No.
Blessings to you.
No.
But what, Eric?
Nothing.
Edmondson.
Nothing.
With just a few house notes. It's been a while. I guess it's kind of like, oh my God, it's like an extra 2 days. So it feel like it's been a while and stuff like that. How you feel about that?
It does seem like, it does seem like it's been a while.
Anyway, but just a few housekeeping notes. As you guys know, I am live on Instagram. We are recording this episode live on Instagram, and I want to interact with you guys. We love it when you guys ask us stuff, talk to them. I'm trying to wave at everyone that gets on Instagram and connect with us as we record this episode and stuff like that. So keep the comments coming and stuff like that. So, Edmondson, you know what time it is.
Yes, it's time to check in.
And you might hear my rappers. I'm eating these gummy bears. anybody else like candy? I love candy. But anyway, I'm sorry.
You're okay. I like candy. My favorite candy is actually Skittles.
Skittles?
I love Skittles. I don't eat them like I used to, but that's like my favorite go-to candy. So, future husband, if you're listening, if you ever want to just do something nice for me just because, go to the corner store and get me some Skittles, and it'll be all good.
Yes. My Secret Santa gave me, like, a whole box full of fruit snacks.
Oh.
And they were, like, amazing. Like, this is something about when the juicy fruit hit the back of your throat and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
You know, and it's just like, and it's like a burst in your mouth. It tastes so good.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm not really with that stuff that's, like, gushers and stuff or stuff like that where, like, the juices squirt out while you're eating it. I'm not really a fan of that. But I do like Twinkies.
Oh, you would like a Twinkie. Not a Twinkie. That's the most gush out of anything I know.
It's almost like a more slower, like, it's not like when you eat the gushers or something like that, it just squirts out it's not the same. It's kind of slow. It's not a burst like with a Twinkie. Twinkie's a little bit more slow. It's more just more, I don't know. It's just a different, like, texture. Like,
so you get to savor the cream filling.
Kinda, yeah. And it doesn't, like, just hit the back of your throat. You have to kind of maneuver it to the back of your throat.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about the Twinkie still?
Yes.
Because I got confused for a minute because I was about to respond, like, but what if you don't? But then I was like, wait a minute, we're talking about Twinkies.
We're talking about Twinkies, yes.
No. Well, I like when it just hit, like, my fruit snacks, when it just burst in my mouth and it just hit in the back of my throat unexpectedly. That's the best sensation. As far as candy, I'm talking about candy.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess to each his own. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so my check-in, I'm pretty good. I'm off to some, you know, I always say, I'm an information junkie, but I'm not getting involved in any more courses. I'm all about mastering two things right now, and that's my blog and my new style coaching program. That's all I'm worried about. So it's no... new informational stuff like that. But I am on some other ish.
What other ish?
It's lately I've just been thinking about, and this is something we're actually gonna talk about a little bit later, but with a different topic. I've been thinking about generational curses just all around the board. And I don't want to get too scary or too woo-woo or make people, you know, turn it off. So I guess I can just say just certain patterns that you might have or certain patterns that you might see in your family and stuff like that you might feel like you might want to break, or you feel like there's certain patterns or stuff that's going on in your family that you kind of see that you're falling into that same thing and you're like, but I want to break it. I don't want to be the one to continue on. I want to be the one to break it. So I guess I've been about that lately. And it's really just with one particular thing, and that's with money. I know a lot of people, you know, have their thoughts about money. Some people say, you know, people shouldn't want money and you did it and all that other, you know, stuff where people shouldn't, you know, want money and all that, or shouldn't, you know, money is evil and all that kind of stuff. But whatever the case, I just feel like, honestly, you know, money's not something that's, they don't teach like money in school. They don't teach about money or managing money and stuff like that in school, or they don't teach you about stuff like that. And then if you have certain like patterns in your family, you might fall subject to certain behaviors that the other people in your family are dead, or, you know, just, you know, no shade to my family, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying, you might fall, you just might notice certain things. So anyway, I've just been, you know, trying to find ways to learn about money and ways to be, just educate myself with money. That's pretty much it. So I've just been looking for videos and watching different people. I still haven't really found anybody that's been really...
Yeah, I was about to ask you, so look, we all trying to get better with money. Yeah, so what's up?
Nugget
or anything?
I have no nugget. That's a good question, because I don't really have any nuggets, because a lot of people, when they talk about money, the Dave Ramseys and stuff like that, you know, they talk about, you know, credit card debt and mortgages and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't have a credit card and I don't have a mortgage, but I still want to learn how to manage money. And it's not really, there's people that talks about it, but I think they just talk about it from a point of you're just one of the people who has a house or you have credit card debt. But I'm like, but what if you don't have that? You just are a person who wants to learn how to manage your money better and learn what to do with your money to be able to save it or just be better with it, or just, you know, even if people taught you how to, you know, shop sales better, or, you know what to do, not necessarily couponing, but that kind of stuff. So I haven't really found anybody. I'm looking, and it's been kind of hard for me to find. So that's just been what I've been on lately. I'm just trying to get, you know, I'm trying to be better with money, have a better relationship with it, because I don't think mine is the best. And in times of when something happens, you know what I'm saying? I want to just start being, financially bulletproof. Because I, you know, I'm tested in all kinds of ways all the time. And finances can sometimes be a way of it sometimes, just in different ways. And I'm not always prepared like I should be. So if I'm being financially bulletproof is like a goal of mine. So that's really all I've been on. I've just been trying to, you know, learn about that. And, you know.
We got a comment from Instagram.
Oh.
John_Ebron said, quote unquote, money is evil. Then he said, people need to quit it. We all need money. I'm with you. We need to do better.
Thank you. I agree with you. And what was his name?
John.
John. I agree with you 1,000%, John, because people do say money is evil, but we do need it. We need it to be able to take care of things in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, even on some non-selfish-ish, like, you know, for me, my thing is, my thing when I think about wealth, I don't think about it just for myself. I think about it in terms of when we have, I mean, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. So when it's all these crises and stuff happening, like what happened in January with the government, and we have these people with families who couldn't pay their rent, and the rent people wasn't trying to understand it. They was going to evict them anyway, knowing that they was on a government shutdown and they wouldn't get no check. You know, I would want to help them. Like, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to see nobody get evicted. And if I could help them, if I came across a case like that and it was a family, I wouldn't want to be able to help them. So when I think about wealth, I don't think about it for, I just want to sit up there and go get me a G-Wagon and a $2 million house. That's not what I'm only thinking about. I mean, I like nice things, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that people, when you think about wealth, it's not always just so you can be selfish with it. Sometimes people want to be wealth so they can help others or be able to be prepared to help others when all this crazy crap happens in the world. At least that's how I think of it. So I agree. Thank you, John, for agreeing with me.
So you remember a couple of weeks ago at South by Southwest, right? And we was at the showcase, the Pink Elephant Showcase, and we saw that, remember the guy that had that song that we just was really crunk, Doug the Savage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just waved and stuff.
Oh, hey.
I'm still bumping that song. We didn't even bump it like we should have this weekend.
No, we didn't.
But we added that song to our playlist, Doug. That is our jam, and I ain't forgot about it.
Oh, no, I have not forgot about that. That song had my mouth, like, to the flow. I mean,
he was going there, wasn't he?
Right, he was. But that was some real shit, though. I like that.
It was almost like you talking about your Twinkie.
Okay, right. But no, I'm here for it. But that's it for my check-in. Really, guys, I really, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, still do things to better myself and, you know, prepare myself for the summer and stuff. And, you know,
what? You go like, up.
Oh. I was trying to think about what I was gonna say. Oh well, yeah, and I've been thinking about something else too. Just something else that came across my desk, or not necessarily came across my desk. It wasn't news, but it was just one of my YouTube girlfriends. Shout out to Alicia Williams. She's my girl. She's going through a divorce, and long story short, she was just talking about how she's experiencing, you know, going through her divorce, and she's experiencing being single now. So she was saying how she's experiencing the single life, and she knows what it's like to experience the married life. And she just asked this very simple question that I've always known. Tyreek has always told me about it, or said in his own little way. But for whatever reason, when she said, it just made sense to me. She just asked, you know, when you are single, are you truly enjoying being single? And I thought about it, and I'm like, no, I don't truly enjoy being single. Because she was like, a lot of times when most people are single, they be thinking about how they're not in a relationship. And they're so focused on that, they don't truly enjoy being single. Now, I do enjoy being single, I think, just around my house. And, you know, I come in and out as I please. And, you know, I decorate how I want to decorate, you know, without having to consider anybody else. Love it. Like, I'm here for all that. But I think just period, I think when it comes to, I guess, actually, like, dealing with other people, or, like, even dealing with dating or guys and stuff like that, I can be, like, you know, non-realness, I guess I'll say, you know, and just act like I'm in a convent. And not saying I'm out here trying to sleep with everybody either, even regardless, but am I open to just being in a single situation where I might just deal with somebody and have a oop situation? We fucked, and it's like, we fucked. I shouldn't have fucked him. I don't like him. You know, we should just be friends and just go to being friends, and that's it. Am I open to that type of situation? Probably not, just because it's not, I'm not saying I'm not now. I'm saying I'm open to it. I'm starting to think, I'm just thinking differently. Mm-hmm. Like how I should be open to that, because that's part of being grown. But right. I don't think of it that way sometimes, because it's like, okay, all or nothing. Right? Like, you know, it's like, if you ain't going to be my man, if you ain't trying to be my man, then I'm not playing with you, you know? So, but that's not really a part of dating. With dating, you have to kiss a few frogs sometimes, even though I don't date regardless. And it's not like, I don't know, even maybe this thought process can change the trajectory of my dating life. I don't know. But it just was something that I thought about as far as being single. I'm like, I don't truly, I think, enjoy being single all the way around the way. It's just like, I'm single, you know, is being independent, doing my own thing at home and stuff like that. But when it comes to actually dealing with guys, or, you know, traveling for dick appointments or whatever, I just, you know, I will think of every, you know, excuse in the book to not do it. But for what? Why? You know, I'm single. So why?
So we are living.
That's it with me and my check-in. That's just something stuff that I've been thinking about lately.
Single. Remember I sung that on the last episode with Christian Dior?
Oh, yes.
I hope you guys, before I even get into my check-in, though, last week you guys showed so much love to episode 7, our Homegirls Chronicles with Christian Dior. That was a really fun episode. It was a jam-packed episode. It was like over 2 hours long, but it was like the most feedback and engagement we've ever gotten. And so I was like, okay, yeah. So that was a win for us with stuff like that. But I remember on that episode, I was telling you guys that, you know, I was, you know, starting my celibacy. And, you know, so I'm going to do my celibacy check-in.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I hope y'all holding him to it.
Well, no, I didn't say we were going to go on every episode. I could just sit and say that today I am still celibate from the last episode that we recorded. So can I get a headshot? Do we got any sound effects yet? Clap.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yes, yes. We got to get some sound effects. So when I say something, you know, or when you say something, we can, like, hit a horn or, you know, do some claps and, you know, get, you know, very animated, you know, a little bit. Well, if you want to, Edmondson, I don't know. But anyway, so that's my beginning of my check-in. I am celibate. And again, so I am live on IG right now. So you guys, everybody that's tuning in, thank you guys for showing love. Thank you, John, for clapping. Thank you so much. I'm really trying or whatever. And so you guys keep engaging and stuff like that. So my check-in. So I'm live on IG right now, and I don't see if you guys can see a few of my war wounds that I have on my face. And so
oh my gosh.
I'm just going to jump right in it. I told everybody I was going to jump into this conversation. Oh, snap. I did the wrong thing again. How do I turn back? I always do that. Okay, I'm back. I told everybody that I was going to talk about the weekend, right, Emerson? The weekend.
Yes.
So we had a really good weekend. So my sister was in town, and my sister-in-law, and it was her birthday, so we kind of, like, partied out on Friday. We went out, had a really good time, met some really cool. I did meet an Arabic guy, but that was interesting, but I'm not, again, I don't be knowing who's watching.
Wait a minute.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Okay.
Don't start with me. Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Okay.
And what do you guys... No, we're not going to get on that subject.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
So nothing happened. And had a really good time on Friday hanging out with my sisters and stuff like that. Then on Saturday, we went to a house party.
Yes.
Well, a house gathering. And, you know, that. What? It was a house gathering, right?
It was a house gathering.
Yes, it was fun and stuff like that, but it was a house gathering with our homeboy Warren. You know, I told Warren we always name dropped him.
All right, he's talking about he going to sue us. So you might as well call your lawyer because we doing it again.
Right, call your lawyer. Call, what's the one that always represented Black China?
Gloria Allred?
Yeah, call Gloria. Get us, because we said your name again, Warren. But no, it was a good house gathering. And then I went to an event. So I'm not going to name the event, you guys. I'm not going to, because the event was brought on by great friends of mine and stuff like that. So I'm not going to get into all that. But I do really want it. The reason why I'm even talking about this on the podcast and being live about it, because I do just want to talk about, you know, being safe in queer spaces and stuff like that. So, again, if you're on live, you can see my war wounds on my face right now. So we end up going to a second event on Saturday, and it was the bomb event. I had a really good time. Again, I'm not going to name the event because we don't want to put any bad press out there for my friends and stuff like that. I really just want to talk about the actions that took place. And so I was in the club. I was, you know, bobbing, you know, having a good time, you know, maybe trying to find somebody. You know, I'm single. Emerson just talked about what it is to be single. I enjoy being single, but that's a whole nother subject. That's a whole nother topic. And so
you don't want to always tell me. So what? No, I'm saying you don't want to always tell me that I need to enjoy being single more. So he definitely enjoys being single.
I do, until I find that the right one, right? And so we was at this spot, cool spot, minding my business, having a good time. My sister and her wife came through the spot, and some guy basically pushed him down. And I'm just giving y'all a little version of it, I guess. Is it the juicy version? I don't know. I guess any fight is a juicy version. And so the guy almost pushed my sisters down or whatever. So I hadn't met the guy. So as days after this encounter, I'm learning more and more about who this guy was. Apparently the guy was straight. The guy had been mean mugging people throughout the venue. He was standing out. A lot of people were kind of like, well, who was this guy? Because again, the event that we were at was a Black queer event. And so he pushed my sister, so I tried to intervene, right, get between them, and he pushed me. So when he pushed me, I poured my drink in his face and pushed him. And because I felt like at the beginning I was trying to play or be the peacemaker. I mean, I'm 33 years old, right? I don't fight. I don't want to fight. I haven't been in a fight since my Atlanta days. You know, I'm a professional. I can't be fighting, you know, and then... Especially what's going on, again, the reason why I wanted to talk about this on my check-in, especially what's going on in the world right now. You know, people get gunned down. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't talk about what just happened to Pulse a couple of years ago. You know, what just happened to Nipsey a couple of days ago. Just all these different things that's going on. To be in the spot, fighting is really putting your life at risk in any capacity, right? Mm-hmm. And so the fight, I mean, it was just a mess, you know, all on the ground, being attacked and other people jumping in the fight. You know, I was just really, my first initial reaction was embarrassed that I was in a Black queer space. And I really feel like I was attacked by this guy because I didn't know who he was. Again, all the information that I'm getting now, you know, I have to give a shout out to my Austin tribe. Everybody called me. I lost my phone, so everybody was reaching out and stuff like that. But you know, it was just crazy. I was there minding my business, and this guy, apparently straight or whatever he was, basically attacked my sister, then attacked me for no reason. No reason to put his hands on me. And of course, I have to defend myself. So it just puts me, and then, you know, then gay guys was fighting my sisters, and it was just a bad situation. You know, Emerson, you said that people just so ready to fight. Whether that's your first thing that you responded to?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are very rah-rah. They are. And I've seen that night, that it's a lot of people that are very rah-rah, which is, I think, the reason why I try to be opposite of that, because I'm like, well, somebody got to be a person that's not. I'm not that anyway. I don't really have that in me. But it's like you were just saying, with the stuff that's going on in the world today, you know, some people just don't got shit to lose. And I don't put it past nobody to use me as an example. Like, well, I ain't got shit to use. You know, bitch, I, you know, pop or whatever, stab you, whatever. I don't care. Should I go to jail? I hear niggas say that all the time. I go to jail. I don't give a fuck about being in jail. I stay, you know, being in jail is a life to them, so they don't care. So my thing is, you know, I try, not saying, and I'm not speaking for Mr. Tailhouse. Mr. Tailhouse, he had to defend himself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I, seeing that night, it was like, eye-opening that, you know, so many people just be so ready just to go there. Like, everybody just ready to be in a Royal Rumble. Nobody's really like, stop, or everybody just want to be a part. So, anyway, it's seen that way. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it's just really crazy because it's almost making me feel like, you know, and one of the things that somebody was like, was security there? And I was like, well, there wasn't no security.
You know, that was my question, and that was what I said, you know, and I'm not trying to say, you know, it's all love to my, you know, it's all love, you know, because they're probably listening. But, you know, that was my question. I was like, next time it's going to have to be.
Right. And it's like, well, somebody told me that they don't go into any club environment without security. And I just thought about it, like, but most places I go have security, at least security at the door, mm-hmm. and, you know. And so I'm thinking in my mind, like, do I go anywhere else that don't have security? Like, because in that situation, it went on too long, and it was like it was out of control.
And it almost was a part one and almost a part two.
Right. And it was out of control for no reason. Yeah. Like, some random person can just come in. And again, clubs can't predict that, right?
No.
You can't control who come in and out.
You cannot.
You know, of your space and stuff like that. But when you don't have security, or especially in this era of Trump era, this era of feeling like the black gays having to even, you know, defend ourselves against black people straight mm-hmm. all the time. Like, you know, I get on Twitter all the time, and it's this war between the black gays and the straight blacks and, you know, the black, you know, black, pro-black people who don't consider the gay movement to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And you see all that, and then you see what's going on in, like, entertainment world. Mm-hmm. You see what's going on really everywhere. Yeah. And then to know that that can really happen, like, I could literally go into a club, be attacked for no, like, random, right? You know what I'm saying? That's trauma, you know? And I get into stuff like that, being a mental health advocate, you know, because it's like, well, now I'm thinking, like, do I go anywhere that don't have security?
And when you say it like that, I think ever since, stuff have, like, what happened at Pulse, I mean, they've had events like that. I mean, going back to, I mean, Stonewall, I mean, mm-hmm. taking a rave at, but I mean, I think that sometimes us being gay, we do take liberties when it comes to certain stuff, and we maybe get too comfortable because we do need to be making sure we are watching our backs and protecting ourselves. And we have been reminded of that here in Austin, even before what happened to you with mm-hmm. the other people, the other gay. You know what I'm saying? We feel safe here, and I'm no shade to Austin because I still don't feel a way here. I still feel the same way I felt before. Is, you know, I've always been vigilant mm-hmm. with myself. I always watch my back, but even still, I think that, going back to what you're saying, do you not go to? I think we should all think that, like, it should be security when we go to places, or they should be checking certain stuff when we go to places, because we don't want to be somewhere just anybody can come in random and
have no checks and balances.
Yeah.
Because that situation was like that. I felt like he could have did whatever, but he had the wrong one. And I don't want to just sound like a victim. I am a victim. But, you know, I participated in it in the best way and defended myself. So I wanted to declare that, yes, I was a victim originally. But, yes, I had to defend myself. And no one is going to just, you know, you know, pushed me and pushed my sister and just come into the club. I think about what if it wasn't me. Yeah, I was able to defend myself. I was able to, you know, tussle with him, keep him from, like, bashing my head into the ground. But what if
it was somebody like me? I don't think to fight first. You know, mm-hmm. I have a mouth, so I normally use my mouth to fight. You know, I have an attitude problem. So that's what I normally use and not go about your day. So for me, I wouldn't have known what to do. And then, you know, like, you know, Warren or other people, I'm sorry, no shade, but he did ask. He was like, well, you know, the police come and stuff like that. That could have been that type of a situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And for somebody like me who not used to defending yourself, you know, I would think to pick up a blunt object or something like that. And I thought about that too. Like, you know, I was conscious of that even when that was happening to you. I'm like looking around, but I'm like, I can't do that.
Right.
Because if I did that, that would have been a whole different situation. But I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. When that was happening, I was looking around like, what can I pick up? But I couldn't do it. I'm like, you can't do that because that would have been a whole different situation. Police would have came. I probably would have got put out, got banned from the club, all this kind of other stuff. Not that I care, but I'm just saying I didn't want to escalate it to that degree. I don't know. We didn't know what he had. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
Yeah, that's crazy. So it was just crazy in the aftermath and having to go get a new phone mm-hmm. and all that, and got these little scratches on my face. I feel like a little cat, but he didn't punch me. I don't feel anything. My back hurt though, stuff like that. We got a message from Shadow_. I can't pronounce the last, but he said, I hate the fact that our community is being targeted in our own space when trying to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what it was.
And
you know,
yeah.
You know, trying to have a good time. You know, I had been there a couple of hours and had a good time.
Yeah.
The situation was not anything that I expected. I don't go anywhere trying to fight. What do I look like fighting? I'm a lover, not a fighter.
No, nobody was.
Can I say it again for the listeners?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. But that's all I had to say. What would you say, Edmondson?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I don't think anybody went in with nobody went in with the thought of us going in fighting somebody. Like, well, we know it's going to be a fight at the end of the night. Like, nobody right. was, I was throwing, you know, throwing in a circle, dropping like it's hot. I mean, that's just what, you know, I thought we was going to continue on and I was going to try to do it at the next spot, even though that would have been challenging. But I was open. Like, I'm out here, you know, I'm on these streets, I'm having a good time, da da da. But what I was going to say was, even though, you know, some people are not a fan of her, mm-hmm. but she, Funky Doneva was just talking about that today. And she was saying how, you know, the straight people act as if straight men act like we're the ones that we're a threat to them or we're a problem against them. We're the problem or we're the ones that's causing the most problems for them, us as gays. But he was like, a lot of times all we doing is we're in our own space. Off somewhere, off on our own, mm-hmm. you know, wearing wigs, heels, throwing in a circle, and listening to Beyonce, but by ourselves somewhere.
Right.
We're not nowhere. We're not trying to intervene or bother them or do anything to them any kind of way, but somehow stuff always seems to, or it seems as, you know, in some cases, people come to our spaces and something happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't go to their spaces and do that. Normally, it's somebody coming to ours and disrupting us in our own little spot where we're not trying to bother anybody.
Right. And it's like a threat there. It's like, what is your problem? Why you think you're going to, you know, and I don't want to use the word punk me out because that has its own, you know, prejudice, you know, gender issues and stuff like that. But like, you really think you're going to just push up on me because I'm gay and you straight? Like, I'm not going to fight back or I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do be in their minds? Like, what do sexual orientation means that you're going to allow yourself to be bullied or allow yourself to be beat up on and stuff like that. But again, why we even got to make that decision, right?
Yeah.
You know, it starts off like, why you even put it in that first place? And it was just a reminder, you know, again, I'm over it. You know, I definitely wanted to talk about it on the podcast. Everybody was asking me. People want to know my version of what happened. It ain't really much for me to say, but somebody pushed me and I was ambushed into a ghetto brawl in the club and I was embarrassed for a minute, but now I'm over it because I had to do what I had to do. But it just, like I said, I do think now I'm going to be looking like if they have security. Again, you know, we can't have police at queer spaces because we know our community doesn't trust the police. I don't trust the police. I don't like to be partying around at the police there. Like, that ain't fun either, right? But I think minimum security is a must. just in case anything like that happened. Like, if a guy, how do a guy just walk around a venue and I'm getting calls from all these people and messages that the guy was weird, the guy was looking at them wrong, the guy was this, the guy was that, and it was never addressed. Mm-hmm. You know, again, like, where's the, you know, the safety in that? And again, you can't predict those kind of people coming in, so you can't really blame the people event, but you have to have stuff in order when stuff like that happens, because you never know who's going to walk through that door.
Yeah.
And so I would just say that, you know, we got to be a little bit more mindful of being safe. As I'm telling all the listeners today, you know, I love to party. And sometimes, like Emerson said, we get comfortable being in our safe spaces and we think we're safe. We just have to be a little bit more mindful of our surroundings and the people around us. And then, because that situation could have been a whole different situation, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what he had. He could have had a gun, stuff like that. And so maybe I could have made a better decision if I had more information, right? But again, I was just defending myself, you know, because I was attacked. So I guess that's just the message of this. Make sure the places y'all going have security. Don't be getting anywhere. Don't get tipsy, period. Well, no. I'm going to get tipsy. I think I have the right to get tipsy. It's illegal, 21 and up, right?
Yeah, I'm going to get tipsy.
But I definitely think just be a little bit more mindful of what's going on in the Ubers and stuff like that. Y'all know, yes. I was beefed out with my Uber last week, a couple of weeks ago, a couple of podcasts that Emerson sided with.
Oh, my God. Well, be careful in your Ubers, especially, and I want to say two things real quick. I'm going to cut you up while it's on my mind. Okay, one thing that happened in this brawl that I saw that I didn't like, gay men. Y'all got to do better. If it's a fight or something like that going out and you see women fighting, I don't care if we gay. Y'all don't be scrapping up with them like y'all, like that's a man. You still treat a woman as a woman. Because I don't like that. I didn't like that shit one bit. Guys scrapping up, squaring up, throwing up paws to females. Now, I understand that they was being scrappy or they was fighting because they was defending or doing whatever like that. But as a man, you should still, I mean, I'm not saying don't protect yourself. But you do things to kind of, I feel, to de-escalate. I mean, you do things to protect yourself. But, I mean, don't be scrapping. I mean, I saw scrapping like they were scrapping with some dude on the street. Like, okay, you get them off of you if that's what you need to do, and then get them off of you and then keep it pushing. You don't keep fighting them like you fighting another man. I don't, us as gays, that we don't get a pass on that. I'm sorry. We are him, he, him, she. But that don't mean that you step to a sheet and scrap with her like she's some nigga off the street. You don't do that. Because, I mean, y'all can get away with shit like that maybe here, but, I mean, that shit could have turned ugly, too. Had it kept going and somebody, maybe he saw that, or somebody's husband or somebody came up there and saw y'all doing it, then y'all could have got fucked up from doing some shit like that. Or maybe in certain cases, that wouldn't fly. You know what I'm saying? If you went to jail and somebody found out you were scrapping with a woman, that wouldn't be a very pretty situation for you. So don't do that. That's first of all. second... The whole thing with Ubers, the whole thing with the girl at this college, and she got in the Uber car, and she thought it was an Uber, and the guy ended up killing her. We definitely need to be more conscious of that, too, and being more safe. You know, I like to use Lyft because they got the little thing. No shade to Uber, but I just like Lyft better. And I like that they had a little lights on the thing. Even not saying somebody who got a light in the thing, they be hurting people sometimes, too. But I think now they do that whole thing where they check the fingerprints and stuff like that. So I guess that's supposed to be a deterrent. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we got to be careful with that stuff, too. We can't get too comfortable with that either because we don't know crazy people out here acting like they ride-sharing people and taking people off to kill them. So we definitely need to be careful with that, too.
Unless it's a cute Uber driver.
Don't say that because that one.
I'm just playing.
Don't say that because that one guy who was meeting girls, it was one guy who was killing all these women. He was a very attractive man. I'm like, what was he doing? He was an attractive man. No shade. I'm not saying what he did was right, but he was an attractive man. I'm like, what's he doing?
Anyway, you want to know what he was doing?
No, I'm not like that. I'm not saying why was he doing that. I'm like, why would you have to feel the need? Women would throw it at you. Like, why do you feel the need to violate them? Like, but that's not. Not for me to try to figure out. Some people are just sick in the head, but
right,
even still.
They'd be fired as hell.
Like that football player. Oh, my God. He was so fine.
You talk about the one that we didn't know if he had the gay letter or not or something like that.
That might have been him, but he in jail now.
I thought he was hung himself.
Oh, did he kill himself?
Are you talking about another football player? It's been a few of them.
It's been a few of them. Yeah.
You can't keep up with them.
No.
So, yeah, that's my check-in. Be safe. I'm here, you know. I don't plan on getting any more scraps. I'm not going anywhere without security. So ATX, do better. We're not having security in your venues. Okay.
Yeah.
Could I do that?
You can try.
Whatever.
You whatever. Definitely tried.
Be safe. I am going to try to be safe, of course. But yeah, so what was the topic about today, Edmondson, since our check-in was all heavy and shit?
It was heavy. Sorry, but it was necessary. Sometimes you have to just, I mean, that's just real shit. We talk about our lives here, and that was something that happened, and that's something that we needed to talk about, and there's some stuff we need to get off our chest about the whole situation, or at least Mr. Telltale's.
Right. Hey, Shay, what's popping? We planning an event now, girl.
All right. Did I just respond to her? Anyway, this week we're talking about, well, because I kind of talked about this earlier in my check-in. We were talking about generational curses. Now, I was talking about finances, but there also could be kind of like generational curses in gay life, in the gay lifestyle, just because, you know, Tyreek and I talk every day, you know, and we talk about people, you know, maybe people that we reached out to or people that reached out to us that we hung out with back in the day or people that we used to hang with back in the day and stuff like that. And, you know, and you hear good things. You hear they doing these things. They do, you know, might be buying houses and all kinds of stuff. Like, oh, okay, that's great. But then I'm like, when we was younger, you know, coming out and meeting people our age, they wasn't doing stuff like that. Like, a lot of them, some, no shade, but some of them were in the same situations that we were in and we were teenagers. So, you know, and we do have like gay families and stuff like that in the gay life. You know, we have gay mothers, fathers.
Who was your gay mama?
I can't say names because they might be listening.
My ex-roommate.
Yeah, your ex-roommate. And that was my gay. I had actually, you know, a lot of people try to adopt you when you're younger to be their gay child. I mean, it seemed like it, but a few people that try to adopt me. Oh, you my gay daughter and da 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 da. Girl, that's the one that stuck though, because a lot of people in gay life when you're younger, they everybody trying to adopt you. You gonna be my gay child and da 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 for various reasons. Sometimes they just want to sleep with you. Sometimes they do that.
Okay,
but what they used to. I guess we talking about generational curses. That's what they used to do. I don't know what they do now. But, yeah, that's what we're talking about, just generational curses in the gay life or with gay families and how, you know, things, me being the age I am now and seeing where we're at and things we're doing and just thinking about what people, when we was coming out, it wasn't the same thing. It just wasn't.
Well, I also think, though, like, just listening to you and actually processing it since that topic got in my head, but I also think the opportunity is different because I feel like, being a gay in the 90s, I don't feel like, you know, I always talk about social depression and being black and queer in America and social depression. And I really feel like this kind of topic is really about that because I feel like the gays in the 90s, because of the situation and in the 2000s and stuff like that, I feel like that was a period where people were able to come out, but they weren't able to feel like they could be like a normal American citizen, you know, or, you know, I feel like now gays, they're so ambitious, you know, it's a lot of them that's really, you know, you can marry, you can, you know, adopt kids, you can, you know, be, you know, openly gay in all these positions, you can run for mayor, you can be politics, you know, the sky is the limit, even though it comes with, you know, the same discrimination and stuff that we've always endured, but I just think then it took a generation of people immobile for us to be where we are today. Because, I mean, I totally agree. Like, me being in college and in high school, I didn't really have any gay people that I could look up to. Like, oh, I want to do what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, my gay mama is a lawyer. I want to be a lawyer. Or, you know, my gay daddy just bought 5 houses and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? We really didn't see that. But why do you think we didn't see that? Like, because now you can see it all the time. And even the ones that wasn't doing it then, I kind of see them doing it now. So
I don't know what that is. I wish it was more opportunities like that when I was young, because I wanted to fuck a doctor when I was younger, but I couldn't find nobody. Okay. I couldn't find one. I wanted him to have his own house and everything when I was...
Right. We could have been Black China then.
Yeah.
Right?
I was looking for that when I was younger. I'm like, where's my doctor? I want to see he's being in his 30s. He got his own place, everything. He can pick me up from school. Let me stop. I'm not condoning that. And thank God it was no man out there that was doing that because I was underage. Okay. But I was still looking for it. But
but you know what we need now that would even take us if we start getting more athletes coming out and being open? That would really open the door for
us.
Yes,
it would.
Our pool of men would just be so much bigger.
But you know what, though? I think they not, okay, they're not out. But, you know, like you was just saying how, like, we didn't have nobody to look up to. Because, you know, I find myself now even, like, I don't want to say, I can say I admire certain people that's out here in the game doing things that's, like, you know, fashion styles and stuff like that. For a perfect example, what's his name? You always talk about him being late. But he, because, you know, EJ, the one that hang with Tamar.
Who?
EJ. He hang with Tamar, got long hair. He not James. He the other one to hang with Tamar. He dark skin, like long hair. Anyway, he's Chris Brown stylist.
I don't remember him.
He's Chris Brown stylist. Y'all look, he Chris Brown stylist, and he has like a over 100,000 followers like on Instagram. And I was on his page, other just admiring his page. And you know, he hang out. He called Nelly his brother, and Nelly was on his page. He literally did a video with Nelly. And Nelly talking, and then, you know, he got this long hair. You know, his eyes done, and Nelly. I'm like. You know, it actually was good to see. I'm like this rapper with this flamboyantly gay boy, and he calling him his brother. So, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I'm like, I need to hang out with him more. But I can get in that circle. But anyway, no. But, no, it would be nice if we was able to, like, it's more gay athletes out and stuff like that. Because let me tell you, baby, I would be, shit.
Trying to back, like, secure the bag.
I would be,
one.
Okay, I would be with any sporting event. I would.
Okay. I would like a baseball player who wasn't the star, right? Like, his, you know, he wasn't. Like, if you went to, like, the Atlanta Braves page, he wouldn't be on the main page. You have to click to the other players and stuff, but made enough money.
That's what I always said. I want it in the football player. I've always said, I'm like, I don't have to have a star. I want the one that's not the star. Because they'll probably appreciate the love I give them more. They probably, you know, all the ones that's going after the major ones, all the major five football players and all that kind of stuff. Fuck that. I'm going to go to the one that ain't getting that much love because he's going to really appreciate me being all on that dick. So he gonna probably, and then he's going to take care of me. And so.
Okay.
And so my thing is, I would never go for the main one.
You can have a store. You can have a little shop. You can have your own fashion. Own office and stuff like
all
that.
All that time. And then, you know, he wouldn't be. Then he probably wouldn't even have. I wanted to worry about him being injured as much because he don't play that much. So like we be going on these vacations and shit like that. He lead the game. You know, the season's done, boo. Oh, it is. Right. Yes, we have to go.
Because you know he ain't going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, he's not going to the, yeah. He
ain't gonna be in the playoffs.
We gotta worry about that shit. Oh, the season done. Oh, so is your boyfriend still? No, the season done, girl. He been done with that, girl. We went to the Bahamas. We went to Cabo, girl. We is just traveling right now. We ain't worried about the game until next year.
Okay. In the D League.
Right. Right. I'll take the D League. Okay. He can give me the D in the D League.
Not the D in the D League. But yeah, I mean, just thinking about like, okay, so we did set up. So I'm just trying to think about like people we were growing up in Detroit. Like, you know, we just really didn't have that many examples. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, even like going to school, I didn't know that nobody around me that was our gay peers that went off to college. Everybody really just stayed home and stuff like that. It was like, you know, because I think about it. So if we were like 17 and stuff, 18, 19, then they were 10 years than us. So they would have been like in their late 20s, going into their 30s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were, like, still at home and stuff with their parents and stuff like that. And I just, you know, I mean, to each his own, right? But I just feel like during that time, I feel like it was just a time for gays where it was so, would you even say it was harder then, really? Because if you don't really have any examples, like, now we just got all these examples. You get on Instagram, and especially you're talking about love and success and all these different spectrums of life. And then you think about then, it wasn't any, you know, the most, I mean, what, DL, you know, kind of situation.
Yeah, that's true. But then what examples did we have? You said, we're saying we didn't have any examples, but yet we didn't follow in those footsteps. So what happened?
Well, I feel like, but because we're kind of like in between, like we went into another world. We're them now, is what I'm saying. So, or even a couple of years ago, we would have been.
But you had examples that were not necessarily gay because you still went to school. You went to school, stayed in, graduated, everything, while you were still actually kind of back and forth. So what was your motivation? If you say you didn't have one, what was yours? I know one of them.
What?
Well, you said Hillman was watching
Different World did make me want to go to school. I don't know. I mean, I guess, I mean, I just I don't think I was a part of that social depression. Maybe I wasn't a part of it long enough. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So when I was coming out, we were liberated. So I don't know what it was 10 years prior to that.
Okay.
You know, because we were able, I mean, you were able to be who you were and not, you know, be in drag. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, that's why everybody was so shocked by that, because that was something they were doing, you know, we're talking about non-binary.
Yeah.
Do you consider, I mean, I know you don't now. What if you considered yourself, knowing what non-binary is now, were you non-binary in back in the day?
I don't think so. I mean, but I think people might have looked at, well, not that it mattered what they thought, but I think people maybe looked at me that way. I didn't think of it that way. I didn't think of being non-binary or what you said. I think before you said I was more like gender fluid. Like, I never thought of it that way. It was just like, you know, I'm wearing this today. You know, this is hot, you know, but I'm still was me. You know, I didn't say change my name. I didn't say call me Erica when I'm dressed like this. No shade if I did. I'm just saying I didn't. I was still Edmonds. I was still who I was. I guess you could still be not by, you're about to say you could still be the same. That's true, because it's some people. Yeah, you're right. So, I wasn't educated on that then for me to even know that. So,
no, I'm saying like, would you? Yeah, because I think now looking back on it, you were.
I guess so,
but it wasn't a terminology.
Yeah, it was no term for it. So I guess you know, I guess so. I guess I'm just going back like, but that wasn't. But I wasn't educated on it, so I guess I never thought of it that way. So I guess you could say that you could. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right though. Even that, I like, where did I get that? Where did that come from? So,
it's a different thing. I don't know. It's just crazy. You know, I read something today was like, because, you know, about the whole Nipsey Hussle thing, and they were talking about, and this is separate from what we're talking about, the same thing, like generational curses, about we need to just abolish the hood. So many people say they want to get out the hood. What if everybody just really just got out the hood? And this was a generic thing, right? Mm-hmm. But just saying that, like, half of us is still holding on to the hood, and half of us is wanting to get out the hood, What is there to hold on to? Like, this hood mentality. Like, why do you think people are so wanting to hold on to being in the hood or what the hoods are?
I don't know. I can't answer that question because, I mean, okay, it's no secret, you know, or Tyreek has, or Mr. Taylor has said, I mean, we both, well, clearly, because, no shade, best friend, but. I mean, you know, he defended himself, but Tyreek, you know, Tyreek's a little scrappy. And, you know, Tyreek always say how I have, you know, hood ways. I think that I feel like you can hold on to it and still progress and move up. I think you don't necessarily have to hold on to it where you don't elevate. You can always hold on to it. And I think that is something that I'm not going to act like I'm one of these people who knew about Nipsey Hussle and all this kind of stuff that a lot of people are doing. I did not know his career. I didn't know what he was doing. I'm not going to act like I did. I can only go based off of what I said, what I heard people say.
He went with Lauren London.
I know that. That's all I know. I'm just saying all these people talking about, because
R.I.P.
Rest, may he rest. You know, that shouldn't have not happened to him. But all these people now, like, I told you this was going to happen. I'm not trying to get off of it, but, you know, people, you know, they are like, oh, I'm stop eating meat. So it took him to die. He was talking about this while he was alive. It took him to die for you to realize that this was stuff that he was doing. You know, that's what I'm just saying. I didn't know that's what he was about. Anyway, but I feel like my point is, he was still connected to the hood, but he was still doing things to elevate, you know, he was all about owning his own stuff and being an entrepreneur and everything you touch, you should own. He was all about that. So I think you can do it. I don't know why some people feel like you have to hold on to the hood, but don't move. Like, you just don't want for nothing. What does that mean? Does that mean that you real? Like, that make you more authentic? Like, I don't get that, because I don't know about that either, because my sister Lil' Kim, I think that's what taught me you could be hood and you could still be about, you know, that Gucci Prada Louis life. You could still want that shit and still be in the hood, you know, or even the Cash Styles. I look at them like, you know, somebody who's like a hood rich type chick. Like, I feel like she hood, but she's still about that life, but she ain't repping no gang number. I feel like she's still hood. So I don't know. I guess I'm saying I don't know.
Ice me out. Ice me out. No, Jamal.Hunty said comfort zone. Sometimes it's all they know.
That's true. That's very true.
And that goes back to, like, we said, that generational stuff we were talking about, that social depression. Like, you know, you feel like you can't get out because that's all you know. If that's how your family, your mama and daddy was raised, then that's how you was raised, that the people around you is raised. Because, you know, it takes... I was watching something on Netflix yesterday. What is it called? All American. It's with Taye Diggs. It's kind of cheesy, but I'm watching it. But it's with Taye Diggs. And basically, it's about this black boy who goes to Crenshaw High. He's a football player. But Taye Diggs is like this uppity Beverly Hills coach, and he wants him to have a better life. So he takes him from Crenshaw High to go to Beverly Hills High to play football. But of course, the dudes back in Crenshaw are like, you're a sellout, you this, you this, you this, you this. And so it's kind of like, it's almost, you know, it's that only certain ones can get out. But if we just really change the whole mentality and get rid of the hood altogether, right? Like, just get rid of it. I know that just sounds like just so dramatic, right? And when I read it, when she had posted it on Twitter, and I was just like, but what is it of a hood that we're holding on to? Like, what is it? Like, I feel like as black people, and the same thing we can talk about queer people in a certain way, we're holding on. It is not about us acting a certain way, right? But just the idea of what a hood is. You know what I'm saying? Because poverty is poverty. Most of them hoods still have houses. There's still people. You know, most of the gang violence are not coming from, like, people on the street, like, literally on the streets. But, you know, like, bums or what's the technical word for someone that's homeless? Homeless. I just say homeless. I can't think of another word. But homeless people. Mm. It's people who got houses. It's people, you know, probably living with their family. It's people, you know what I'm saying? And so if you think about it, if everybody just stopped gangbanging, right? Everybody just stopped selling drugs. Everybody just stopped all the things that make a neighborhood supposedly a hood. What does that look like? Like, why are we holding on to it? Or is it just systematic, right? It's something that we can't get rid of mentally. Socially displaced, as he said.
I'm about to say something that's not going to be a popular opinion. You know that, I don't know, y'all can't see me, but when Tyreek says that, she says, get rid of the hood, I kind of turn my face up a little bit. Now, I know it's not, I get what she's saying. Or the person did the Twitter post or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or I get what they're saying. I don't know if I say man or woman. But anyway, I get what they're saying. Why are we holding on to the hood and just get rid of it so we can, you know, get that mentality out of here that that's something, you know, so we can stop all that. That's, I get that. But I'm sorry. I just, in some ways, I had some fun times in the hood when I was younger. I mean, compared to other neighborhoods, I don't know what it is. It's just certain things in the hood that I don't know. And not gangbanging. It wasn't gangbanging. It wasn't anything where anybody was being violent. It wasn't anything like that. It's just certain things that I think that you get from being in more, I guess, hood neighborhoods that I think I've always held on to that were good memories for me.
Well, I think you're saying culture, though.
Yeah,
right?
I guess I am probably
so
saying culture.
You're saying culture.
Hood culture.
That doesn't change when black folks get together. We black folks, right? That doesn't mean that it has to be, and that's why I say it systematically. Just because a bunch of black folks is together don't mean that it has to be poor, violent.
That's true.
And destructive.
That, okay, you know right. It does not have
culture,
to be that.
I still want my popsicle. I still want to see the girls with the, you know, the big booty sitting on the porch.
Yes.
With the long weed.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
Yes.
I still want to see the dudes playing basketball with those shirts on. It can still be all those things. It could still be black as fuck, right? Type of thing.
Yeah, it could be.
Someone, the Literary Soul Symposium asks, do you think that having labels for everything puts people in a box that society then enforces stereotypes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in certain ways, yeah, I do think that.
Because it's kind of going back to what I was just saying, just because it's black, like, because we call it a hood, but I that's the terminology that she used, that reference. But I really feel like it's just our culture that we love. It's not the stuff that, like, I would want to do the same thing in the suburbs. Like, and still have green grass and still be playing, you know, Trina, you know, in the backyard, you know, playing spades. Like, why does it have to be that it's...
That's in the hood. But then it's
unsafe.
But it, right, that it makes it unsafe where the popo's going to be called.
Yeah, the popo's going to be called.
So that's why I think that's where my mind goes to. Like, yeah, but in the suburbs, we're going to get in trouble if we do that. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But in the hood, we could just do it and nobody give a fuck. Which is not... But, I mean, but that's how it
but
is.
But that's how you be able to get away with it. Because if we was in the suburbs, we couldn't be our authentic selves, but
right.
It's kind of, but that's, and again, that's social displacement. That's,
it is.
You know, we already know, you know, jobs and education and schools, all these things that's been put in place for these outcomes, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a rocket science to know that these outcomes, you can't just say a group or a race is a reason why, you know, things happen. Like, so everybody in the black, you know what I'm saying? Even at me bringing up this question, you can't say that, like, well, why do everybody want to be out the hood? Do you think everybody black want to stay in the hood? You know what I'm saying? No. That's not the case. It's the social depression. It's the systematic things that's in place. It's the generational curses. I see what I see. How I was raised. If you was never told, like you were saying about money, if you never taught, now some people can do things on their own. You know, yes. Some people can self-educate.
They can.
There's a lot of black people who decided that they didn't want to do money like the way their mama did money. Daddy did money.
Right.
It's people who do that, but we know in the human psyche we're born to be taught. You know what I'm saying? So the things that we know is usually taught. So if you've never told not to, you know, if you wasn't told to have good credit your whole life, you ain't gonna never think about credit. But if you from the day you heard about money was supposed to have a credit score of 800, having a credit score of 800, 900 is what? It's automatic.
Right.
Like, but if you was never shown that, told that, taught that, and all of that. Somebody said the black flight of our black professionals is destroying the hood. It happened in Detroit. Wow. So I could talk about that. So, you know, I graduated from King in Detroit, right? And I remember going to our graduation was at Shane Park. And, of course, at the time with Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Oh.
I'm sorry.
He was the guest speaker. And his whole thing was what this guy just said. He was like, you guys go off and get your degrees. And you guys make sure you come back to Detroit. You guys come back to your city and, you know, and be the doctors and the lawyers and the this and the that of your community. I didn't go back to Detroit. Most people that I know that graduated, that went off to school, didn't move back to Detroit. So I don't know, what does that mean? What do you think about that, not moving back? Like, people who go off to school and become these professionals and doing all this work. Because people ask me that all the time, will you go back to Detroit? It's so much opportunity in Detroit for you. I'm just like, oh, I don't know about that. I love Detroit. I love it.
Well, because I think that, I can't speak for everybody else. I just, maybe if I had went to school and became a professional, and for you to say for me to go back to Detroit, the answer would be hell no. And the reason why is because, and it's not because I'm not saying that I don't want to help the people that's there that needs to be uplifted, or I wouldn't want to go back to help my community, kind of like a Nipsey Hussle type of situation. I'm not saying that I wouldn't. But I think for me, it's like my experience in Detroit was not good for me to go back. So it's like, you almost like you want better. So it's like, okay, well, show me an experience, or show me, even when I went to other areas or went to another neighborhoods in Detroit, it was like, I didn't see, me personally, I just never really saw anything that was just like so much better. And that might sound stank, but it was still like, okay, this is okay. You know what I'm saying? Or be in this neighborhood. Oh, I sit up there. I live in Southfield. Oh, okay. I went to Southfield. It's okay. Like, you know, Topfield's not Detroit, but I'm just saying, still, if that's Michigan. So if anything, even if I was to say, or, you know, you can always go back to Michigan. You always talk about how I live in the suburbs. You know, I can go back to the suburb. Me being in the suburbs was all right. It wasn't all that. So maybe that's everybody's experiences when it's like, okay, but I'm going to go back. But what I came from was not so great. But I think that's the mindset we have to get rid of. Like, okay, well, you gotta go back and try to make it great.
You got to make it great.
Yeah.
So we got a minute left on our live on Instagram. You know, Instagram only let us do an hour. You know how they do. And so we're going to get off the topic just a little minute. I would just like to thank everybody who's tuned in. Our episode will be up first thing in the morning. Make sure you guys are continuing to like, love, and subscribe on our page, all our Instagram followers and stuff like that. We love the support. But anyway, we got to continue recording the episode. And, so you want to hit a rest episode out in the morning. Y'all have a good night on Instagram. Bye. That's always fun.
Yeah. And that's a big engagement.
That's always fun. But, you know, back to the topic. I mean, yeah, it does. Sometimes I think about it like, because I had a coworker, right? And she's here from Jamaica. And she was like, I'm here, you know, to get my education, to make this money, and I'm going back to Jamaica. She's like, I'm going back to my country. I'm going back to my people, I'm going to retire. She said, I want to retire with my family and where I'm from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So she basically came here. She's doing her thing. And then you do see people, like, and so I do hear people saying they go back to their hometown, you know, after they travel the world and, you know, experience what they want to experience, then they go back to their roots and whatever. And I always wonder, like, would I ever just move back to Detroit? I can't say that I would never. I could never say that, because what does that look like? That might be the full circle of it all, to come back. I would want to go back at a certain level, because I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'm doing all these community activist work, but my hometown needed just as much as anybody else, right?
That's true.
And that would probably be even more to my heart to do that kind of work, because it's where I was born and raised. I know those streets. I know the people. You know, like, you go back to Detroit, it's a different feeling. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. You know, would I ever live back in Detroit? I don't know. I don't know where I... What would you want to retire? I know I want to retire in a small French villa town. And
where is that?
I don't know. Somewhere in France. Like a small little town. Okay. It ain't got to be Paris. Somewhere, you know, I can live just regularly modest. I can, you know, write letters to everybody back in the States. I'm not going to, you know, be on social media. I'm just going to be living my life, going to little French bars at night, you know, talking to the bartender. You know, going to the store, get my, you know, lunch and my coffee and my whatever French coffee dessert they take. But it'll just have to be France. But that's kind of the idea. I definitely think I want to. I've always admired, like, you know, like James Baldwin and stuff, or other people, like even Josephine Baker, like other people who live other places, mm-hmm. that were, you know, born in America. And it's just like, you know, that, I don't know, that secluded, but cultured, mm-hmm. a different culture, right? Yeah. I don't know. Because, like, what would I, like, so if I went back to Detroit, like, what would I be? Secluded in culture, you know, I wouldn't get the same. Like you said, go to Roseville or be downtown at Belle Isle talking to the bartender at the Westin or something.
You could. I mean, you could do that. I follow this new girl. I don't want to mess up her name. It starts with a J. She's an entrepreneur. And she's homeboy, or she's friends with my homeboy James, the woo-woo guy. Anyway, she travels everywhere, but she always talks about how she, you know, I'm from Detroit. I live in Detroit. I got my dream apartment in Detroit. And when she says that, I almost, like, clench my face, like, girl, you're talking about your dream apartment in Detroit. Like, what? Like, you know, and that's horrible because I'm from there. But I'm just, you know, but it's not like it's not nice places to stay in Detroit, you know, in the city of Detroit. There is. So I don't, you know, my point is, I guess you could find that. It would just, you know, find that space in Detroit that, you know, it could be maybe culture, especially in the new Detroit. I guess you could find that somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting, right? I feel like you would approach it differently. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, because, again, like, if you go away, you've seen the world, you've been different places, you kind of already broke that generational, you know, curse.
You have.
That generational normality. Yeah. You know, the same thing that you've seen. You've seen different stuff. So I think you would be able to better navigate through the city. You could treat the city a total, you know, because I feel like people, like your homegirl, she probably lives in Detroit way different than what we knew when we were there, because we didn't know anything.
Yeah.
We didn't know the people that do what we do now.
Right. No, we didn't.
We didn't know them there.
No.
So we didn't know what the art world looks like, mm-hmm. you know, all the little, you know, I wasn't drinking coffee when I was in high school and college, you know what I'm saying? It's probably a nice little, you know, coffee shop that I would probably go every day for the rest of my life in mm-hmm. somewhere in Detroit, you know, on West Grand Boulevard, and you know, you never know, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's that violence, it's that, but that's, you know, if it's stereotype, I mean, stuff can happen. You know, I don't know. It's all those different things.
But yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, when he said that, and then when he said that people don't move back, because it is like, if people don't come with different perspectives, how will it ever change?
That's true. It's going to take somebody to go back with a different perspective to be the one to push and change the narrative of what it's like to live. So, honestly, I can't, but, you know, speaking, I don't know if I would be going back to Detroit. Actually, I probably won't. I mean, no shade. I'll visit, but I just... it's not even nothing culturally my issue with Detroit. It's the weather. I don't like winter. So, I mean, that's just a no-go for me. I definitely wouldn't retire there. I can't deal with that. And then in my old age, trying to worry about shoveling the snow and stuff like that, they can keep that. But, I mean...
You can get a snow blower.
I don't want to mess with the snow. And I could pay somebody too, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to be around it. And, you know, I feel like, I'll never forget, I watched this episode of House Hunters, and the lady was like, you know, I told my husband I needed to move out of this state because I felt, you know, trapped in the wintertime. I felt like I was, you know, held hostage. And I'm like, yes, that's how I feel. I'm like, I'll never go back. Like, no, I can't do it. So, yeah, But again, going back to Detroit, or going back to where you came from, it does take somebody to go back to make it look different. And it takes somebody to go back to show the people that are there that you can be from there and, like you said, go experience different things in the world and then come back and be something, be elevated from what you came from. And I think it's good that people see that and not see it from someplace from afar. Because honestly, like, you know, my girl Diana Ross, I think that's one of the things I love about her. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't like her for that. They're like, she did not go back to Detroit. She left and just said, fuck it. But for me, and that, you know, take that as you may, for me, when I saw her when I was younger and I found that she was from Detroit and I seen her, she was this glamorous, classy woman. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, I can do that, you know. I can leave and be like that, you know. So for me, I never looked down on her. I was like, "Well, girl, I want to do that too." So
you didn't want to live the Riri Aretha Franklin. She went back.
No, it was Diana.
Aretha Franklin went back to Detroit though. She had a house at Southfield.
They said she did insurance fraud on her house in Southfield. I never forget that when I was younger.
R.I.P.
But I'm just being honest. That was an image, and I was younger when I started on the news. They was like that she might have did insurance fraud to get some insurance money in her house in Southfield. So I'm like, she was not that. I never had heard anything like that about Diana. So that's why Diana holds near and dear to me, because, you know, she showed me that she was one of the people that showed me you can come from Detroit and you can be something way bigger than what was presented in front of me. But I think it does. But everybody's not me. Some people you do have to put in their face. Mm-hmm. So you do have to go back and actually show them you can be bigger than this. So
I mean, that just really goes to the topic, right?
Yeah.
You know, really dealing with this generational curse, even in the gay life. Like, again, like most of us, I know 90% of the gays that we grew up with does not live in Detroit.
Mm-mm.
90%.
No.
First of all, 50% of them all live in Atlanta. Then, you know, you probably spread to like the New York, you know, everybody on the East Coast, mm-hmm. even Texas and Cali. But a lot of them don't live in Detroit, mm-mm. you know? And so, again, we're talking about that generational curse there, you know what I'm saying? The ones that are, you know, becoming these big old hairstylers and all these stylists and mm-hmm. makeup artists and actors and commercials and, you know, activists. You know, we're doing all this work, even in all these communities that's really not in Detroit. I can name a lot of people from Detroit that's doing a lot of big things right now.
Yeah.
And none of it is in Detroit.
No. But you know what, too? I think, well, we kind of talked about this too, but I think, I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but I know we're talking about gay people going back to Detroit. A lot of us gays experienced trauma while we were there.
Well, I mean, the gays in New York experienced trauma while they were there.
That's true.
And a lot of them live, you know, it's New York.
But they move around in New York, though. New York is so big. And shout out to my girl, Jayla, on YouTube. Because, I mean, I knew New York was big with all the different boroughs and stuff like that. But it's just so big and so many different cities. I mean, so much different boroughs within the city. It's almost like you just travel from place to place. Like, even she was saying, like, okay. Like, she's like a gay like hag, so she has all like gay friends. So like, you know, her gay friends are like, okay, well, you can live in this neighborhood, in this neighborhood, it's nice, da, 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 but you don't want to live in this neighborhood because da, 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 da. So I think it's a little different in New York, because in Detroit, it's like, where do you not move to in Detroit where it's gonna be safe and not Where is that? What neighborhoods? Okay, you move this neighborhood in Detroit, it's going to be safe to be fine.
But
where?
I think that's the same as New York. I don't think there's no neighborhood in New York that you can't get robbed.
But
or because
nicer,
they go to those neighborhoods to rob people.
But it's different because you can't say the same thing in Detroit. You can't say in Detroit, okay, well, you move to this neighborhood and it's nice, it's not ghetto, it's this and it's that, and you know, and this is gay people saying it. Like, they feel safe in these neighborhoods. What neighborhood does people feel safe in that's gay in Detroit?
Well, I haven't lived there in years, so I don't know what's safe or not. I mean, but I don't think it's no neighborhood that, I mean, even when I lived in Atlanta, I mean, Buckhead was the area you wanted to live in, unless you were rich and lived in like a mansion and where a fence gate. I mean, yes, it was a better neighborhood that you would want to live in. You're right. And I don't know. I mean, again, I would say maybe downtown Detroit. I feel like that's where people live. That's got money that could to, you know, live in those lofts, you know, like Sean and stuff like that. But I mean, I guess that would be anywhere downtown Austin, whatever. I don't know, like, local neighborhoods in Detroit, because I really don't know. I mean, I guess the east side, like Walker Street, I don't know that anything goes on in that on that part of the neighborhood, but you go too far over, you're in another neighborhood. So I don't know, right? I don't really know what's safe. Growing up, I agree with you, it wasn't really no good area, I guess. But I guess what they consider good area, but again, I didn't live in those. I don't know. So it's kind of different now because I'm older now. So if I went back, and you know more because you lived there longer, but so I don't really know all the neighborhoods within Detroit that's not the suburbs, whatever. Because I feel like they are dangerous. But again, if I think about Atlanta, you know, even Austin, right? It's not dangerous. Like, I mean, rich people now living in East Austin, but it's still like East Austin, you know, it's
a lot different than, but I mean, it's not safe. I mean, we have issues here in Austin, yes.
Well, yeah, not compared. That's why I didn't want to use Austin as as far as the violence. But I'm saying, like, the New York, I don't think it's anywhere safe in New York either. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like it's more higher real estate and where rich people live. But I feel like they're even more subjected because they're still in the city. Unless you like in Staten Island when you're away from this, you know what I'm saying? Even though those rich areas.
That's true. Because people still are going. I mean, my thing is, if that was the case in Detroit, then it would be like, I could probably say, okay, well, yeah, people move in this neighborhood though, even though, you know what I'm saying, people got robbed every now and then, but it's still, people are moving there. There's not that. In New York, you have certain parts of Manhattan that you can move to. It's like, okay, well, yeah, you know, it's like, it's 24 hours. You can kind of do this and da da da. It's okay. I have a dorm in. So, you know, that makes me feel a little bit more safe. You know what I mean? But, you know, I can pretty much go here, go there, go there. I mean, I'm talking about Jayla. Jayla is a 25-year-old, you know, girl who is navigating the city by herself. And she feels like she can go in certain areas and be okay. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel that people necessarily feel that. Maybe downtown Detroit now. I don't know. But I just don't think that's the same story in Detroit. Like, well, if I move in this neighborhood, I know I'll be okay. I'm fine. People just don't feel safe. In Detroit, period. I get what you say in New York too, but I don't think it's that people, they are cautious in New York, but still they'll move there. And you know, there's certain things that it's just a difference.
I feel like in New York, it's just more of, I mean, it's a way bigger city, so it's more of a, I mean, it's the most diverse place in the country, right?
Yeah.
So it's way different kind of opportunities. I feel like if we're talking about just the people of Detroit, that's comparable to the people that you're talking about in Detroit would be comparable to the same people in New York who don't feel safe. You know, I feel like those people who don't feel safe are usually people who have a different opportunity. So I agree with you in that. Like, there's nowhere in Detroit that you would... Well, I can't agree because I don't know that you could spend money or you can be... You have the money or the opportunity to live in a better condition to be safe. Again, I'm thinking downtown is the only area that comes to mind. But again, I don't really know any neighborhoods in Detroit that has been redeveloped or gentrified and stuff like that. So that's all you're talking about is gentrification, right? You're just talking about areas that are now being, they would turn the hood and now it's an apartment or a place where they would have a building.
They haven't gotten there yet.
And so it's not... yeah, the neighborhoods in Detroit haven't been gentrified as quickly. Well, we know it's the biggest city to ever go bankrupt, right? So it makes a lot of sense. Why? But yeah, like, I just feel in the gay life, it's really, we're, like you were saying, just about Detroit, but any city, we really, the same thing, our gay mamas and gay fathers. And, you know, do you hear about people having gay parents? Again, we're older, so I don't know. Like, I wonder if it's like a lot of, I don't have any gay kids.
No, I don't have any gay kids either. But, you know, it's funny, like, we was at the club on Saturday, and I introduced a friend of mine as my brother. I'm like, oh, this is my brother. Mm-hmm. And somebody was like, oh, so you have a brother? That's your brother? I'm like, oh, no, that's my gay brother. Like, right. You know, like, no, but, you know, but I'm like, you know, that's probably not something that's, you know, it's not, I don't think that's something that's common now, is, or I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe I just haven't been around to know. But even people I follow, like, on, you know, I follow gays on Instagram and stuff like that. I don't hear the mention of people, maybe brothers.
Brothers, yeah, but not like gay mama, gay daddy and stuff like that. And even in the house, I mean, probably in the house anymore.
Yeah.
In the same way, stuff like that. But yeah, so I don't really know. The generational curse in the gay life, the gay family. I just feel like now we just have better examples. We didn't have then. We, you know, that's why we got to keep, you know, really fight for our rights and stuff like that so we can continue. And you already know the white gays is even worse for us blacks. And we still need to make sure we're doing better in our trans community. You're talking about generational curses. Again, a lot of times, the stereotype is that a black trans woman is, a sex worker and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's because those are all the opportunities they had, or that's all they thought they could be based on their surroundings, based on really their options. You know, it was very limited options being black and gay in the hood. That's kind of what we talked about. So it's kind of like we were living it. And again, I feel like we came on a cuff where it was like a revolution. You know, we're right there where being gay has totally changed.
That's true.
Where they were 10 years, what we were seeing. Right. They were living it.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, hell no. But we was on the brink of seeing options, or at least believing, right? So I guess that we kind of just, everybody in this generation kind of just add to that. Like, I'm not going to not be this because I'm gay. Like,
yeah.
But back in the day, I felt like they thought they couldn't do it. You know, like being a bank teller was like the
that
shit.
Was working at the bank was being the shit. It was like, I got a job at the bank. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the shit back then.
It was.
But that's because before then, gays did get jobs like that. Black gays wasn't doing stuff like that.
I guess so.
What were they working at, though?
I don't know. Well,
I'm trying to think of, like, where a black, like,
well, you know, real Detroit,
black gay person worked at in Detroit.
No, well, I don't. Only time I was seeing a real black gay cunt person was at a hair salon.
Definitely at a hair salon. Yeah, for sure.
That's where I seen a lot of the gay people that worked at, I don't want to name drop, but the gay people that I knew that were, you know, had their own places, had their own cars, was doing their own thing. All of them did hair.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was. Because I can't think of any, like, flamboyant ones that was doing anything different. Because I was about to tell you, know what the thing is in Detroit. You know, everybody want to work at the plant. You know, I got a job at Ford. Okay. I got a job at Chrysler. I got a job, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, and I don't recall any of them work. I don't remember anybody that I knew personally that was, like, flamboyantly gay that worked at the plant. But, I mean, I knew gays that worked at the plant.
And so what is your thing to wrap up this generation of curse? What could we do different?
Well, I think that we're actually, I think now, what I guess me saying that, I think what we're doing now is good. I mean, aside from not going back to the actual city and showing people in their face that we could, you know, we're doing better and all this kind of stuff. But I think now we are doing better as far as showing people that you can be doing more. And I think a lot of the people that are successful, all the successful gays, I mentioned EJ, or all the gays, or even, you know, the gays and the trans, or, you know, our trans, you know, sisters, or even trans brothers, or whatever. I think that, you know, we're all doing good at showing, representing that we could be more than just, you know, what we would used to, or what we might have saw when we was growing up. So I think if anything, we just all need to keep striving to do what we were doing, and keep, you know, you know, keep writing books or, you know, keep coming out with your businesses. Shout out to Tremaine, interior design business. Oh my God, that came out of nowhere. I'm like, girl, I didn't even know. Like, why you didn't tell me? I love home decor. But let's keep thriving and coming out with business and keep doing the things that we want to do. Keep coming out with podcasts. We just keep pushing and keep doing stuff. And just keep, you know, and keep just show, I guess just keep doing what you're doing and keep striving to be better than, you know, what's in front of us. You know, I think that's just what we can keep doing. I think we're doing a good job. The ones that are here doing things, I think we're all doing a great job. But I guess like we could do better, maybe going back to the communities we came from, since I'm talking about being from Detroit and going back and showing them or people there, you know, I guess that's something we could work on. But I think we're doing a good job.
I want to twerk. But my back is hurting from that Royal Rumble. Like, it's like, I try to have one of my coworkers, like, walk on my back, but I don't know if that's a good idea. You think that would be a good idea for her to walk on my back? Because it's probably sore. People on this back.
You don't need no pressure like that on it. I think that you might need some heat or something.
I don't know what I
need. A bath, an Epsom salt bath. That's what you need.
I need a man.
What is a man going to do?
Rub on these bones. Get this spasm out. Pop this back. I'm talking about the actual back, you know, guys. Not the way y'all thinking. But anyway, so it's time for our Black Queer Highlight.
Yeah.
And just shout out, you know, to everybody that's been responding to that as well. I feel like we felt that it was very important for us to, you know, start really acknowledging the people in our community that we look up to.
Yeah.
People that we might know, people we don't know, people in our own cities, people we might have grew up with. We just want to be variety. We don't want to just, you know, highlight people that everybody highlight. We want to make sure that some of these people, we know exactly what they're doing, where their heart and their spirit is, and really represent us in the best way they can, right? You know, because no one person can represent any community. I can be black and gay and queer and all day long, but I don't represent every black queer person. At all,
I definitely don't. I wouldn't want to. Right, it's too many of us, and we are unique. I think we all need to
be our own. Yeah, you know. So, but yeah, this week Black Queer Highlight is my homeboy from back home. Somebody I really, really admire, Mr. Guy Anthony. He's a really dope dude. You know, we were friends back in Atlanta. He's from Detroit. He's living in New York right now, but he's an entrepreneur. He's also president and CEO of Black Gifted and Whole. Okay. And their mission is to empower, educate, and mobilize black queer men.
Okay.
He's also the author of the book Positively Beautiful. I mean, he's getting awards left and right for his community, for representation for HIV positive people, representation for black queer people. But he's really just a dope person, always in good spirits, always a good time whenever we don't see each other often, but I definitely admire the work that he does with his organization and what he does for us. He's a black dude from Detroit, just like me. So anything that he gets and what he's winning is a win for me, is a win for us. It's really a win for the community to just see so many black queer men impacting.
Yeah.
You know, no more of us being marginalized. You know, no more of these movements not including us. We got to create our own.
Yeah.
So shout out to Guy and everything you're doing. Hope you're enjoying your vacation and all that, living your best life. You catching flights, ain't catching feelings. I've been seeing your posts. I know what that's all about. I'm catching flights. I ain't catching no feelings either. Because these niggas, I'm just playing.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, that's our Black Queer Highlight of the week for sure.
Yay!
Yay! So is it time to wrap it up, Emerson? What we got left? That's about it.
That's it.
That's it. So housekeeping notes again. You know what? Y'all gonna start calling me. What's the one from the Jeffersons? Florence, the housekeeper, the maid.
Did they call you Florence?
No, I said the people are going to start calling me Florence.
Oh, because you were talking about housekeeping notes.
Really? You was like looking like, what?
What?
Like, yeah. What her day, Florence? What was her day?
Was it? I don't remember. It could have been Florence. I don't remember.
She was on 227.
Yeah.
Marla Gibbs. I just can't remember her name on the Jefferson.
I don't remember her name on
the Jefferson. I love Marla. She's so funny. But anyway, y'all know what to do. Go to our page.
and comment.
Comment.
Like y'all have been. Actually, shout out to people that actually did leave comments on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I found out about it this weekend, and they were great comments. And just thanks, you know, thanks for the love. I appreciate it. My mouth was dropped when I, you know, actually heard it. I'm like, oh my goodness, really? Thank you. Y'all listening. So yes, continue to comment. And yeah, we're listening. We hear y'all. We see y'all.
We see y'all, and we just love the love. Follow us on Instagram at @work_works_for_us. I think it's a podcast.
Yeah.
On Facebook at just What Works For Us podcast. What else? Of course, hit me up on Instagram, Mr. Telltales. Hit me up on MrTelltales.com. Facebook, show love. Boom.
And you know where y'all can find me, the Elcode, CHEELECODE, on Instagram, Facebook, I always say Pinterest, but yes, Pinterest, Twitter too. I'm not very active on Twitter, but, you know, I do have some stuff on there. And my website, which is the same, CHEELECODE.com, my blog. And, yeah, that's it. Hit me up.
Holla.
Holla.
What works for us, 313 West Side.
Bye.
It's hella bumpy. My accent different, like my name is Crocodile Dundee. So many different ways we can make it or make some money. Fuck a New Year's resolution, make your own solution. Goals are meant to be broken. It's all about the execution. Leave the negativity behind with the retribution.